Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to express my deepest and sincerest gratitude to the Bhaktivedanta Manor devotees for having given me this opportunity to be here this evening and serve all of you. In the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, verse number 8, Lord Krishna explains, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattah sarvam pravartate. He explains how he is the source of everything that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha. Everything comes from me. Lord Krishna very categorically, in a very uncompromising way, explains that he is the source of everything that exists, both material and spiritual, and explains himself to be the creator of all that exists. Very often we find people coming and asking, what is the definition of God? It's a very common thing when people come and ask, what is the definition of God? And I've heard a lot of people talking about the definition of God. Some will say God is light. And I don't know whether it's sunlight, moonlight, neon light, halogen light, floodlight. Some will say God is love. And I don't know whether it's the love between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, the love between a mother and a child, the love between a husband and a wife. Which love is he? Some will say God is nothing. And yet others will say God is something. There'll be others who say that God is anything. And some would opine by saying that God is everything. Something, nothing, everything, anything. Good heavens. So much confusion and so much lack of clarity in what is God. And unless one knows what is God, there is no question of serving Him. Firstly, only when one knows who is God, what is God, is there a possibility of even taking the opportunity to connect to Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. And therefore, a lot of people, when they come and ask me, what is the definition of God? I always try to see what it is. Of course, there are many funny definitions that people give, you know, like they say, what is the definition of tears? Tears is the feminine hydraulic power which defeats masculine willpower. They can say, there are many funny definitions which people can give about tears. Say, what is a banker? What is the definition of a father? A father is a free banker provided by nature. You know, they say, like a teacher came to a classroom and asked the students, one student, so what is your favorite book? The student said, my father's checkbook. That's a favorite book, father's checkbook. So it's pretty common that, you know, you can have people think all kinds of definitions. What's the definition of a school? A school is a place where father pays and son plays. Yeah. So I always wonder, what is the definition of God? You see? And people can have a variety of ideas about it. Like in the United States, they have on the dollar bill, in God we trust. And once upon a time, that God meant G for generator, O for operator, and D for destroyer. The generator, the operator, the destroyer of everything is God, G-O-D, God. And now in a very political sense, sometimes some people say, in God we trust means in gas, oil, defense we trust. That's G-O-D, God. I always wonder, what is the definition of God? Aham sarvasya prabhavah mattah sarvam pravartate. God means He who is the supreme source of everything that exists. He has created it all. Therefore, He is the proprietor of it all. And He is the controller of it all. He is therefore called God. You know, the wise, Buddha. Buddha means the wise. The wise understand God to be so. Knowing God to be the source of everything, the creator of everything, knowing God to be the source of all love, not just things, they want to serve God and experience His love. Whereas those who do not take to that kind of wisdom think that a Big Bang is the source of the creation. And they think that human beings have come out of a monkey. You know, a child once came and asked his father, "Papa, where do we all come from?" The father said, "Beta, human beings, we all come from monkeys, you know, an ape. That's our theory." So he went to the mother, he was not convinced, so he went to the mother and asked the mother, "Mama, where do we come from?" The mother said, "Beta, we all come from God." So now the child was confused. He said to the mother, "Mama, Papa says that we come from monkey, you say we come from God, where do we actually come from?" The mother said, "Both are right, Beta. His side comes from monkeys, my side comes from God." You know? My goodness. You know something? Anyone who's wise understands God to be the source of everything. Not just the source of things, but the source of all love. And if the world needs anything at all, it is love. There's no question of any true fulfillment without experiencing love. Everyone wants to be loved, and everyone wants to love. The world is full about love stories. They sell like hotcakes. Movies which are based on love stories sell like hotcakes. Novels which are based on love stories sell like hotcakes. On a plane you read a love story, it's so engrossed. You see, sometimes in a movie, on cinema, on screen, the love that is shown is not even real. Even between a mother and a child, for instance, such a sacrifice, it's not even real. But it touches us so much that we have tears in our eyes. How many of you have cried in the movie? You may honestly raise your hands. We are in front of God. Why are you scared? Why are you so scared? I'm not asking you to answer a question which is so serious. I'm just asking you, how many of you cried in the movie? How many of you knew it wasn't real? How many of you knew that they were simply acting? And for acting, they were paid a thick package. Yet, in spite of knowing it all, tears glided down your cheek. And while you did, the other person said, "Keep quiet, take this tissue, you know. Relax, it's all right." So touching, isn't it? Even acted, even in an act, love just touches our heart. Doesn't it show us something? That this is our core need? That this is what we are all craving for? To be loved by someone? And to express our love to someone? And therefore, when we talk about God, He's not just the source of stuff, not just the source of sun and moon. Yes, He is. Indeed, He's the source of the sun. Indeed, He's the source of the moon. Indeed, He's the source of the planets. Indeed, He's the source of all of us. But He's the whole source of supreme love. And anyone who experiences that supreme love feels completely and thoroughly satisfied. Till then, no matter what love we express in our lives, it seems incomplete. There seems to be some void there. There seems to be some pinprick there. There seems to be some kind of selfishness in every relationship in this world, isn't it? Hare Krishna. Someone was telling me recently, in India, you know, they say that when a man laughs, smiles a lot, in Hindi, laughing is called hasna, has. And face is called mukh. So one who smiles nicely is called hasmukh. You know? And when his smile closes down, he's called husband. Husband. Jab hasi band ho jati hai na, this is called husband. Hare Krishna. Those who are next to your wives and are laughing, may have to be slightly careful this evening. I'll tell you something. When there is selfless love, it just touches our heart. Those whose hearts are touched by Krishna's love and those who experience Krishna's love share their love with others. Therefore, Jesus Christ said in the Bible, what is the highest commandment? love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And one of the Pharisees at Sanhedrin was sitting with him, and he asked, Rabbi, is there a higher commandment than that? And Jesus said, yes, there is. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It is very easy to love God. It's very easy to come in front of the deities here and express by saying, I love you, Krishna. And there are so many t-shirts, you know, saying, I love Krishna, I love Vrindavan, I love Mayapur. There are many t-shirts like that. Very easy to say that I love you, Krishna, you know. But to love the people around, oh my God, challenge. Therefore, when one connects to the supreme source of everything, Krishna, He who is the supreme source of all love, and experiences that love, is also able to share that love with others. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was one such person. An incredible personality. A personality who went beyond all external veneers. We generally love people for what we expect them to be, not for what they are. If people don't come up to our expectations, we don't want to like them. We don't want to love them. But if people do come up to our expectations, then yes, I love them. You know, it's just how the world is. Just how the world is. Sometimes even parents in India, you know, they're so threatening to their kids because of exam pressures. If you bring these grades, otherwise, my God. One father was beating his child, you know, slapping his little boy. And the neighbor said, hey, why are you hitting him? He said, tomorrow are the results. So the neighbor said, the results are tomorrow, isn't it? Why are you hitting him today? He said, no, tomorrow I'm out of town, so I must do what is the the inevitable must be done. How many of you feel, whether it's a relationship between a spouses, husband and wife, or it's relationships between parents and kids, or it's a relationship between friends and friends, that our love is so much based on our expectations of how they deal with us? May raise your hands. Don't most all of us feel like this? If he or she does A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z, I love. If he does A, B, C, but not X, Y, Z, I love half. If he does A, B, I love partially. If he does A, I'm okay. If he doesn't do anything, Isn't it? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was such a personality, going beyond any external veneers, beyond any external considerations, and expressed his love towards his people, and inspired them to serve God, to serve Krishna. You know? In Germany, there was a man, when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, and this man was such a druggie. Just be taking so many drugs all the time. Nice man. But didn't know what to take shelter of. Just taking shelter of substance abuse. And always stoned, you know. And in that state of being completely stoned, this man had no idea of what was happening around him. So much so, that he never take a shower, never took a shower, didn't bother about eating for days and months together, and I was still fine. But he used to pass in his trousers every single day. Didn't even change his trousers. It was all getting dried up in his trousers. I mean, even hearing the description, look, I can see faces here, you know. And I can see all of you saying, hey, in temple mayam nahi bolvanu, right? Barabar chhe na? I should not speak like this in the temple. What are you speaking like this disgusting stuff, you know? And one day this man came to our temple in Germany. And all our devotees, you don't want to go to look anywhere close. How many of you, honestly, would want to be anywhere close to that person? Would even take the trouble to go close to such a person? None of the devotees wanted him. No one. He was such a gone case for them. such a derelict for them. They didn't even want him anywhere close. When he came to the temple, he was wanting to walk in. The devotees threw him out, you know. Threw him out. This man had no choice. The next day, Srila Prabhupada came to Germany. And he was in the temple. And this man came again. When this man returned, he was wanting to come in the temple and the devotees were throwing him out. Srila Prabhupada called one devotee and said, "Why are you throwing him? Get him in." And then they told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what a kind of a person he is. I mean, he's stinking. Stinking. Months and months of not having cleaned himself. And his clothes are all stinking. He is stinking. Can't have him, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "I am telling you, get him in." Srila Prabhupada got him in. And he hugged him. Hugged him. Put his head under his chin and rubbed his head. And showered such genuine affection that he was experiencing. A love that is beyond what we understand in this world. A love that does not base itself on expectations of how the person is and what the person does. That man changed, you know. Changed. By the genuine affection that Srila Prabhupada showered, that man changed so much that he gave up all of his ways and started practicing Krishna consciousness. And then took initiation from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Became a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. If only we can love people without expecting anything of them, people feel inspired, appreciated, encouraged, you know. And therefore, there is such a need in this world to go beyond any external considerations and to actually see the true self in everyone, to experience the love of Krishna by connecting to Krishna and share that love, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's some other religions, whether it's some other spiritual paths, or whether it's devotees in the temple. A person who is experiencing the love of Krishna in his heart, truly, will share that love with others, you know. And therefore when Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, mattah sarvam pravartate," the deeper sense of this verse is, beyond just the sun and the moon and the things, Krishna is the source of all love. And when we experience it, life is indeed different, you know. And then, whatever happens in life just doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. You know, sometimes, how many of you have flown from London to Mumbai? As soon as you make the decision to fly from London to Mumbai, what do you do first? Calculate the fare. Airfare. Jet Airways, British Airways, Virgin Atlantic. Which airline you want to fly? You make a decision. You buy the ticket. You go to the airport. You board the plane. And the plane takes off. I used to always find, once I was flying Aeroflot Airlines from Moscow to London. You know. And the steward came to me and said, "We guarantee takeoff." Landing, pray to Krishna. Quite an airline that is, you know. "We guarantee takeoff." Once you made a decision, purchased the ticket, gone to the airport, boarded the plane and the plane takes off, do you have a choice? Till you boarded the plane, you did. As soon as we board the plane, we don't have a choice till the plane lands. Do we? Can you say, "Let me get off"? On Indian trains, you can. Every stop, you can get the, eat a samosa, go drink some water, take a stroll. And Indian trains can be very late. You know, they sometimes are very late. One guy was sitting on the railway track in India to commit suicide. And he had the full lunch pack, two bottles of Sprite and everything kept. So one man said, what are you doing here? He said, I've come to commit suicide. I said, really? Then what is all this for? He said, no, just in case the train is late, I don't want to die of starvation. I might not die by the train I came. I don't want to die of starvation. God. You can come out of the train, but you can't get out of the plane, can you? No. We have no choice. But while you are on the plane, do you have some choices? Yes, we have. You can catch up with your rest that you haven't had in the last few days. You can pick up an interesting book and start reading the book. You could just take some drinks and just eat. My God, when you fly and travel, how much people eat, you know? When there's nothing to do, all you do is just munching. And then when the stewardess doesn't come, you go to the galley. Crisps, cookies, chocolates, Pringles. Hare Krishna. You can just munch something. You have a choice to make a contact with the businessman who's sitting right next to you. Where are you from? Oh, India. Yeah, I'm also from India. Where are you in India from? Gujarat. Oh, I'm also from Gujarat. Oh, where are you from Gujarat? Rajkot. Ah, mahu pan Rajkot na chu. In Rajkot, which street? Oh, Vallabhbhai Patel Street. I'm also Vallabhbhai Patel. Which house? Are we are staying in the same building. Wow. What do you do, sir? I'm the CEO of this company. Okay. You can make a great business contact. Or you can pick a fight. Pick a fight with someone, and as soon as the plane lands, the reaction for having chosen to be with the businessman comes as a reward by getting some nice opportunity, or having fought with the guy there brings the police to arrest us. You know? Isn't life like that? The decisions we made in our previous lives have given us this plane, the human body. Birth is takeoff. Death is landing. Do you have a choice? Do you have a choice to change birth, to change death, to change the body? No matter how much cosmetic I rub, I'll still be dark. No matter how much cosmetic I rub on my face, I'll still be dark. I can't change it. Can I change my parents to whom I was born? I don't like this man and woman. I think I like them. I want to be their child. How? You may be adopted. You can't be born again. Do you have a choice? No choices. The body just comes. The decisions we made in our previous life has made us to take this plane, and the plane has taken off. Life has taken off, friends, ladies and gentlemen. And now, it'll land at death as sure as death. When it comes, how it comes, such an uncertainty. Every plane lands at a certain time, you know, 9 hours. This plane, only the takeoff is guaranteed. Landing? When? How? No guarantee. And our turn will come. I was telling yesterday, one of our devotees, one man in Bombay, he was about 25 years old and his aunt was 65. So every time there was a wedding in the family, you know, the aunt would always nudge this 25-year-old nephew, you know, and say, next is your turn, huh? And youngsters don't like it at all. Because they know their freedom is gone later. You know. I said, no, next is your turn. And he would be so upset. So once there was a death in the family of a 70-year-old older. So they all came for the funeral ceremony and both were standing next to each other. And the nephew was nudging the aunt. Next is your turn, huh? What do you do? As sure as death. Next is our turn, huh? Next is our turn, huh? When? How? No one knows. No one knows. But while the flight is on, you can't do anything about the flight. You can't get off it. But can you make choices? You can make a choice to read a book, to drink, to eat,
to make friendship with a businessman, to pick up a fight with someone. And based on the choices we make when we land, that is what our outcome would be. So also in this flight called life, all of us have choices. And I think there's one choice that we all need to make. In the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we find Arjuna trying to be in the position of control. Krishna, I don't want to fight. I don't want to do my duty of fighting, Krishna. All around I see my kith and kin and my near and dear ones, all those who fed me and bred me, all those who loved me, all those who showered their affection upon me. You think I should be fighting against them and contend against them and kill them, Krishna? Sorry. I don't want to fight. He tried to keep life in control. And you know what is the outcome of trying to keep life in control? Frustration. Frustration. Because there are people and factors around us who just don't keep us the controller. When I think that I'm so healthy and my life is in control, a terminal disease plagues me to show me that I'm not in control. Suddenly everything just slips out of my hands and I'm lying there like a vegetable, not being able to do anything at all. And I was so powerful, going around and doing so many things. Here I am just lying in bed, not able to do anything at all. Where's the control, you know? And in relationships many times, beyond my control, people misunderstand me. How many of you have been misunderstood? How many have been misunderstood by people who are very close to us, from whom we didn't expect at all? Arey, inko to samajh mein aana chahiye tha na? At least close people shouldn't do it. If others do it, it's fine. But people who are close, they don't understand me. And you know when people who are very close misunderstand us? What we feel like? Feel trashed. Feel like a rubbish, you know. A piece of rubbish. And we're trying to say, man, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Why are you misunderstanding me? Do you have control over changing people's minds? Can any of us here change people's mind on how they think about us? I don't think so. Life brings us to a conclusion. We are not in control. Arjuna in the first chapter of the Gita was trying to keep life in control and was in such frustration. Tam tatha kripaya vishtam ashrupurna akulekshanam ashrupurna. Out of frustration, trying to keep life in control, completely confused, not knowing what to do, as he saw that I'm not able to do what I'm wanting to do, suddenly, eyes flooded with tears, you know. Srila Prabhupada used to explain there are two kinds of tears. Hot tears and cold tears. Cold tears are tears of joy. When there is joy in the heart and tears glide down our eyes, those are cold tears. When our heart is in anguish, agony, hurt, the tears that come are warm. Don't take her temperature next time. Otherwise you'll take a thermometer, let me check. It's hot or cold, whether I'm in anguish or in joy. Hare Krishna. You know? He was crying. How many of you have wept bitterly? Good. How many of you realize that when you weep bitterly, the eyes are fully flooded? And how many of you know that when the eyes are fully flooded, you can't see things properly? When the eyes are flooded by tears of lamentation, lamentation takes away the ability to see with clarity. Arjun couldn't see the situation out of clarity, you know? One who's constantly lamenting will never be able to seize the situation for what it is. He realized, I cannot be the controller. And he came to a conclusion. I want to change from being a controller to a cooperator. And therefore in 2.7, he surrendered to Krishna by saying, Shishyaste ham shadi mam tvam prapannam. My dear Lord, now please guide me. I've always tried to hold the position as a controller and I realized life doesn't allow us. Therefore, we have a choice. While on this plane journey from birth to death, where many factors are just beyond our control, we have a choice. Whether to constantly remain in the position of control and be frustrated, or be in a position of cooperating with the Lord by serving Him and be a cooperator. The journey of the Bhagavad Gita is from being a controller to being a cooperator. The same man who was not willing to fight on the battlefield because he was trying to be in control agreed to be a cooperator and said, Karishye vachanam tava. I'll do what you say, Krishna, now. I'll tell you something. Life becomes exciting, dynamic, when we slowly start letting go of that control. Therefore they say, let go, live free. Till the time we cannot let go, we cannot live free. And letting go doesn't mean letting go of things, letting go of people, letting go of family. It just means letting go of this tendency that I want everything in control. And the modern society makes us feel, you know, in a slot machine you put a coin and you get a can of Sprite. I'm in control. Everything seems to be within our reach. It becomes so hard, you see. Therefore we find, in this life as human beings, we have a choice to make. A choice to say that, yes, Krishna, there are many situations that are just beyond me. I cannot handle them, Krishna. But I can cooperate with you, serve you, and take what comes in my stride and come above them. I was thinking, you know, when a plane takes off, whenever the plane takes off, all these buildings, mighty buildings, they're huge when you're on the ground. But as soon as the plane takes off, the higher we rise, the buildings become tiny and puny, so insignificant. At a point of time when we are very, very high up there, those buildings are non-existent for us. It's not that those buildings are not there, they're still there. The buildings are still existing on the ground, but for me, it doesn't exist. Problems sometimes are like massive buildings, aren't they? They seem unstoppable, uncontrollable, and unpredictable. How many of you realize situations in life are sometimes unstoppable? And how many of you feel that they are uncontrollable? And how many of you realize that they are unpredictable? Just come. One fine day, suddenly, you know, my gosh, you can imagine, unstoppable, uncontrollable, and unpredictable, massive buildings, you know. We can't do anything about it many, we try to, we can't do much about it many times. You know what to do? Unless we go high up, those buildings will be very big. When a plane takes off and goes higher and higher and higher, then we see all of these buildings seem very puny, tiny, insignificant, which don't bother us as much. Therefore, those who are absorbed in the Lord, our good Lord, will help us go above these things. Problems cannot always be solved, but one can definitely transcend the problems by absorption in Krishna, by absorption in chanting the names of Krishna, by absorption in service to Krishna, by absorption in hearing about Krishna. And most all of us have this experience, don't we? That when we come to the temple and sit in a spiritual program where they are chanting the names of God, there's a beautiful darshan of the Lord, our mind is just drawn in, pulled in, and for that much time we even forget what's happening outside. How many of you have that experience? Right. We just forget it. Bhul gaya. Gone from the mind. You know? And step out. Examination. For students. Work deadlines for professionals, relationships for families,
pressure on there, you know.
And therefore, Krishna consciousness is about learning how to connect to Krishna and absorb ourselves in the process of devotional service. How do we do that? We begin by hearing. We come every week on a Sunday and we sit here and listen to these subject matters. Because when we hear, by hearing, will we start thinking about it? And when we start thinking about it, will we start living by it? How many of you like to hear the announcements of the cabin crew? The more flights you take, the lesser you hear them. No. This is a seat belt. I know. This is how you fasten a seat belt. Am I a child? To say that put this and take this inside and put it in. Am I a child to be taught what is a seat belt? And if there be a drop in the oxygen pressure, a mask will drop from the panel above you. Secure the mask tightly over your face and start breathing normally. Make sure that your mask is properly secured before you help anyone else around you. Gosh, tired of you. There is an emergency jacket situated right under your seat. If the plane has to land on water due to emergency landing, please take it off. And this is how you blow, you tie it around and secure it and blow it on this pipe, you know. And then there is a light situated on this. My God. Be honest again, you're in front of the deities, huh? How many times you paid attention? Wow, Guntis Prabhu, my God, you're a submissive devotee. He's a very submissive devotee. Gives less submissive oral reception. Hearing, you know. My God. Can you imagine? This is an analogy given by Srila Prabhupada, by the way. In his lecture. You know. That no one practically pays attention to the cabin crew members. But you know something? Even when you're not paying attention, it's going on your ears. And it's getting registered in the mind. 100 times on your flights you have heard that the emergency jacket is situated under your seat. And if suddenly there is an emergency and there's an announcement made by the pilot that we have to land on water, an emergency landing, where will the hand go? To the headphones of the in-flight entertainment, IFE? My hand will go under the seat. Srila Prabhupada said, even if you come in the class and sleep, even if you are sitting here and you find speakers like me very boring, doesn't matter. Some will be distracted. When will he end? Prasadam time is coming soon. These Indian men keep talking. Imagine. Even if you're so tired through the day that as you sit for the class, you just fall asleep. But the message is so powerful. If the message of the cabin crew can hit us so hard that in the time of emergencies our hand automatically goes under the chair, the message of the Gita and the message of Krishna consciousness, even if one is asleep, I'm not saying sleep, even if one is asleep, if it goes on the ears and gets registered in emergency, where will the hand go? In the bead bag. That is the emergency landing equipment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was once sitting and giving a talk. And one man came and said, hey Swamiji, you know something? All of your followers here are sleeping in the class 95% time. 95% of the time, these followers of yours are all sleeping. You know what, Swami? And Srila Prabhupada replied,
"So, what is the problem?"
Prabhupada was amazing.
He said, "So, what is the problem? They are awake only 5% of the time. And in the 5% what they have heard, they have surrendered to me and you are still at home." He said, "Even in the 5% what they have heard, look at the change that has come in their lives, you know." And therefore, the Gita and the message of the Gita is such a powerful thing, whether we understand or not. It goes and registers itself in the heart. And when there is an emergency, we know where to look, where to turn. You know. Therefore they say, don't tell God how big our problems are. Tell our problems how big God is. You know. And He can definitely help us handle them. And the best way to handle these unstoppable, uncontrollable, unpredictable things that come in life is to learn how to be absorbed. And in all the things that absorb us, hearing about Krishna and chanting His names, in particular in Kirtan, completely draws and absorbs our mind. And if we do so, we'll realize, yes, Krishna is indeed the source of all love. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mattaha sarvam pravartate iti mattva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. The wise who know me to be the source of everything, including love, serve me. And by serving me, in the whole Gita there is descriptions how people can transcend problems, not always solve problems. Problems in this world cannot always be solved, but they can be transcended by superior absorption in Krishna. Wish to thank all of you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol. Hare. By the way, the talk that I was meant to give was a whole different talk. By the way, I was to talk on 9 analogies about an airplane in Krishna consciousness. But taking one, I have gone totally somewhere else. So anyways, thank you for bearing with me. Hare Krishna.